Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Hey, my friend, welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate. And if you're listening to our show for the very first time, welcome home. This is your home for practical and actionable advice for how to succeed when you make the leap from business leader to entrepreneur. And today I am super excited to introduce you to Kate Luzio, the founder of Luminary, a collaboration hub for a really diverse community of women leaders who are entrepreneurs, freelancers, as well as women leaders in business and the nonprofit world. And Luminary launched just over a year ago as a gorgeous collaboration space in New York City. So as a Libra, I can officially say that because aesthetics are so super important to me. And Luminary is my home when I'm in the city. And Kate is a banker turned entrepreneur. She is a COVID survivor and master of the pandemic pivot. So, Kate, welcome. I'm so excited for our conversation today.
Likewise. And I've loved following the Life After Corporate journey that you launched. So this is really exciting for me, too.
Yeah, this was my inspiration right before the pandemic hit. And it turned out to be a great outlet for me to support my community, too. So, Kate, the very first question we ask all of our guests on Life After Corporate is, what is your Life After Corporate story? When was that pivotal moment when you knew your corporate days were over and it was time for you to start something new?
Well, I don't know that my corporate days are completely over yet. Because although I'm an entrepreneur, you know, I always say to people, never say never. And when things, you know, life throws you a curveball, you never know where you're going to end up. So when I spent almost 20 years in finance, I would tell people when they were leaving or they were moving roles, whatever that may be, I would say, you know, you can always come back. And so my pivotal moment was sort of early 2018, I was still leading, you know, a big business in the banking world, in corporate investment banking. And I was having a conversation with my mentor, who had been my mentor for about 10 years from JP Morgan, about a big move that I was planning to make still in the banking world. And he looked at me and just said, is that what you want to do for the rest of your life? Like, is this really what you're cut out for? And, you know, again, after spending 20 years in the business, it was like, of course, I'm making a lot of money. I'm doing this. I'm making impact. I love what I do. And I did. But he said, yeah, but I see that you're so passionate about so many other things, including how you impact people, develop talent, all of that. And I knew that HR kind of rerouting my career at this time or at that time probably wasn't going to happen, especially with the bank going, hey, can I run your diversity team? That was just not unheard of. And so in that conversation, I walked away thinking, you know, what was he talking about? Kind of rolling my eyes, like, this is what I do. This is what I've been doing. And 2 weeks later, not even, we had drinks again. And he said, you know, you didn't set out your life to be a banker. That's not what you graduated with. And, you know, this was something that you kind of got recruited into. So go figure out what it is you really want to do. And in that moment, you know, again, in that you can always go back, what's the worst that could happen? I stepped back and said, I don't want to be a banker anymore. But at that moment, I didn't know if I was going to go work for another big company. Long story short, a few weeks later, after attending yet another women's event where I just didn't think there was real impact or value and lack of networking and real connection, I wrote a business plan for Luminary. I did not know that I was leaving corporate to go become an entrepreneur. If you had asked me again, even 2 years ago, I probably would have said, are you crazy? That is not me. I'm a company woman, right? And I wrote this business plan because I saw a huge need and I saw there was a big gap out there. But again, it was this kind of one or two pivotal conversations with this mentor, who's still my mentor. And that was, you know, that was sort of, I want to say it. I had obviously lots of discussions with different people in my life that I consider, you know, trusted friends and advisors. But once I wrote the business plan, I am one of these, you know, let's just go and get stuff done. So yeah. If I've got something in my mind, I'm going to execute on it. That's how I was in my corporate life. And that's what we did. And then not even 9 months later, we opened Luminary's doors.
It's such an amazing story. And I'm right there with you. You know, when I launched The Great Do-Over, it was based on, you know, my inspiration from Nike, which is just do it. You know, once you have the inspiration and you've got the plan. And it's interesting how this came to you, because it was probably a natural thing for you to like look at business plans or think about things in terms of business plans because of your banking background. And it's interesting in that that's where the manifestation of the solution to this gap came from. So that's interesting.
Yeah, you're right. It's funny. And I rarely look at it that way, but you're absolutely right. I think for me, it's funny, you know, I teach this course at Luminary, the business plan bootcamp, and I'm often astounded by people that say, I don't know how to write a business plan. And I think, well, I had, you know, 20 years of sort of on the job experience. So when I had this idea, you know, I actually didn't really have an idea. I called my boyfriend. He was traveling at the time after I came back from this event. And he said, write everything that you're saying down. You have an idea. Just write it down. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I started writing down, I was like, oh, I'm writing a business plan. And just started formulating. But it was so natural to me because I had been used to writing business and strategic plans for the businesses that I had been running or rebuilding or launching in the banks that I worked for. So that foundational knowledge was there. You know, I never went to business school, so it's not like I, you know, had taken a page out of that business book playbook. That's what I did. And so, you know, a week later, and again, people will say, oh my God, I only have a week to write a business plan. No, that was just me. I stayed in my pajamas for a full week and just kept writing and writing. Mm-hmm. And then did my, you know, my financial projections and my P&L, which led to me saying, I'm going to self-fund this thing. And that was really it. And then I was off to the races.
Yeah. You know, a couple episodes ago, we talked about mastering the entrepreneurial mindset and that there's so many skills that you bring with you to the entrepreneur journey from the corporate world. For me, it was the market research and spotting patterns and frameworks and mapping needs in the market and finding that gap and creating solutions around it. And for you, it was, you know, thinking in terms of the business plan. And let's just talk a little bit about that since we're here. You know, so many women make the leap without thinking a lot about the money. And I think they don't think about the money because women are raised to think about money or talk about money. And so your banking background greatly influenced that approach and deciding to self-fund Luminary. And I know you teach that business planning bootcamp. I will catch it one day. It's something that I literally recommend it to all my clients.
Like, I know you do.
But I will catch it one day soon. So share with us why the business plan is important.
So for me, it's about that having that North Star. And I don't think a business plan is something you write and then you put it in a on a shelf or in a drawer and you never look at it again. I think it allows you to, set up that strategy, look at your market research. You have to refresh that because new competitors, regardless of what you do, come on the market all the time. But it gives you this path, right? And it also provides from, you know, just what's your MVP, your minimum viable product, what is your differentiation, what's your mission. It allows you to very thoughtfully determine how you are going to differentiate yourself in the market. But then once you get to your, you know, how much money can I make out of this versus how much money am I going to put into it? A lot of people don't even get to that stage. And I really feel like you need that to understand when and if you can hire someone, when you can invest in marketing dollars. You know, I was writing my business plan and I had no idea what paid social media was. I was a banker for 20 years. I didn't have to think about that, but just kind of quantifying for every dollar that I was putting into it, what do I get out of that? And then ultimately, what am I going to need to do to make this business profitable? When can I break even? And looking at, again, if I didn't have that business plan, I do not think we would have been able to so quickly pivot or adapt to what we were going through with the pandemic. And I say that because I can go back to the original business plan that I wrote, and there's very few things that changed. And because everything that we've done has been built on our core values and our mission, advancing women in the workforce through community. If I had taken on investors, that mission, I can tell you right now, probably would have been asked to be changed or compromised in some way. And I was not willing to do that for the women that I'm trying to help and serve.
That's, you know, I'm so glad you said that too, that it's not a static document. It's not something that you do once and sits on the shelf. And my next question for you was, how important was your business plan during that pandemic when you were pivoting to online and the decisions that you were making? Because you have stood out to me as a great leader during this pandemic. Your ability to manage your staff, to get on board early on with the PPP,
yeah,
taking care of staff, taking care of your members. Your communication was always spot on and so timely in instructing people what is going to happen. Now that we're in phase three and Luminary is reopening, the mindfulness with which you have communicated that entire reopening strategy, the mindfulness with which you have rethought the space, which must impact your financials. So how has that business plan, how have you used that business plan during this period of change?
So I think it brought me back to sort of what was I, when we knew that this was coming, right? And we were really, and you know, had tremendous momentum, and it was fantastic. As I look at February and looking at February, sort of January, February numbers as a KPI, it was like, mm-hmm. wow. And then we were watching we knew this was going to hit New York. I don't think anyone could have predicted it was going to be this long, but regardless,
right.
I knew why did I create this business? Why was I creating this community? And so first and foremost was making sure we stayed engaged, right? With information, with how we were going to be there for the community, with it, whether it was the corporate women that we serve, you know, these corporate leaders or nonprofit leaders or the entrepreneurs, right? But mm-hmm. also knowing that we have such a personalized approach that we had to understand what was going on in different situations. And so, you know, that second week of March, I sort of got the team together and said, all right, we're going to have to make some very swift changes. And, you know, depending on when we have to physically shut our doors, we're going to have to put everything online. And my team is incredible, as you know, and everyone we sort of created an action plan. I mean, I'm all about action and execution, right? With strategic planning at the front of it. And so going back to that business plan, it was, I've got to stay engaged with the community. I've got to continue to communicate. That's what I've done for my whole career as a leader, is be transparent, honest. Where are we? But also take feedback. You know, my first banking job, the tagline of the company, the bank that I worked for, was think of yourself as a customer. And I do that every day. So if I'm a customer, what would I have wanted to see out of Luminary, especially if I couldn't go to that physical space? What else were they getting out of Luminary? And we knew there was a lot. We'd love to say we're more than just a pretty space.
Right.
So that really allowed us to say, okay, we've got all of these programs and events. Let's reach out to those that are facilitating. Will they be willing to do online? Let's get online very quickly. But what's funny is, or ironic, is that when I go back to that original business plan or the iterations of it, I never put the word digital in there.
Wow.
Because I was always focused on this idea of face-to-face,
right,
and I still
and community.
You know, stand by that. Exactly. But knowing that you don't have a choice,
right.
Because the world is suffering at this point, what do you do? Well, we've got this strong community within four walls. It doesn't just exist in the four walls. It's much further beyond that. And so it's ironic because, you know, I went back and I was like, I even wrote in there, we will not have a virtual platform other than our app because we're going to partner, and we still do. But knowing now that we've got this tremendous online community, that our digital membership, all of that, but we would not have been able to do that. Down to staff and saving our staff. We didn't have to let go or lay off of any of our full-time staff.
That's incredible.
And I was very, had tough those tough conversations in my head and looking at the financials. But I said, this is the right thing to do. And I need this staff. It's not like we're going digital and that makes it any easier. We're running a full business for the foreseeable future online. And so I didn't want to lose anyone, right? For those reasons of keeping them employed. But also I knew that I was still running a full business. This was not, oh, well, I just need a few skeleton. No, I needed a full team to make sure we didn't skip a beat. And whether that was engaging with the community, new members, launching the digital membership, our Luminary Collective, which is the directory of women-owned, women-led brands, all of that, it's not just me doing it. My COO is a great example, right? I mean, we have a 15,000 square foot space in New York. We have multiple vendors, over a dozen of different things, whether it's, you know, garbage pickup to cleaning services to our wine, our water tap, all of that. All of those had to be handled. And, you know, Erica Lerner, our CEO, just jumped in and said, here's a list of everything we have to do. Here are all of our bills. Here's what we have to do. And we just started calling vendors and saying, listen, can you put these on hold at least till April or May? And it's very tactical, but very strategic, knowing that probably 3 weeks into this, Deb, we started planning for reopening, not even knowing when that was going to be. But what does the member journey look like?
Right.
Taking in information. And I think that's led us to be able to strategically say we are very comfortable, as we've now been open now for over 2 weeks, with our plan, because we just did it methodically.
You know, first of all, kudos to you for the team. The Luminary team is extraordinary. Erica, Janelle.
Surby.
Oh,
Rachel.
My God. Great. Such a great team, and just so open and welcoming and transparent and strategic, which is what you've just said, is, you know, you were strategically planning for the reopening all along. And on the outside, you know, you're a powerhouse. And so I want to know about the inside. So we talked about the business plan and how you pivoted and how you brought everything. You created the digital platform as well. And what was going on inside? Was there ever a day when you woke up and questioned, how am I going to keep doing this?
Every day. I mean, honestly, I think as an entrepreneur, you have this tremendous roller coaster, but you have such responsibility on your shoulders. Whether you take on investors, you self-fund, you have loans, you have a responsibility. And again, this weight, plus you throw on, I don't know, there's so much uncertainty. I think there's always that in the back of your mind as an entrepreneur, especially for me. And I'm very vocal about this. People will say to me, oh, you probably love that you're not a banker anymore. And I say, I look back every day and go, did I make the right decision? I know I did. But, you know, there is that devil on your shoulder. It's like that devil on your shoulder that says, should I apply for these jobs? Should I ask for that raise? When you know you should, but you always have that little bit of a second guess behind you. I think having this happen and we lost, you know, more than 70 to 80% of our revenue. Because people, you know, listen, one, we're a physical space. Two, you know, you have people that that don't just come for the space, but also are under financial stress or duress. Their partners or they have lost their jobs. Their revenue is dried up, whatever that is. And we absolutely respect that and understand that. That's why we take an individual approach with everyone. But I also know that I have to, if I want to be here when things reopen, that we had to be really, you know, again, financially savvy. We did get PPP and applied for every other grant out there, which we were not successful. And I understand it. There's volumes of women-owned businesses trying and other businesses. But I really feel like every morning, probably maybe not every morning, it was probably more depth every night, I would try to go to sleep going, I got to pray that this is going to get better tomorrow. I've got to, you know, think about other ways to either drive revenue, retain our members. I think the other thing is, you know, I don't think I could have done or can do anything more than I've been doing today. And I think that's a struggle for women. We're always thinking that we can be doing more. And I didn't give my all. I didn't give my best. And honestly, I think there's nothing, I couldn't do anything more. There's nothing more humanly possible that I could have done that I can do for Luminary right now and my team. But it is really hard. And there are those days when I cry. I am not a big call. I love to talk to people because I like to offer advice, but I'm not a big let me vent to you and cry. Yeah. I normally do that with my mom. But even through this, I think I took a lot of it inside because, you know, I just had to get through it. And we're not through it yet. I say, you know, we're not out of the woods, but we're one step at a time. But then getting coronavirus on top of that, it was, what is going on? And my mom will always say, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. And again, I didn't have it nearly as bad as so many people out there. But I just had to keep going. And for me, that was sucking it up. And as I say all the time, walking it off and just saying, okay, I've just got to keep going and doing what I know is right for my staff and the community of our members. And that's just what guided me.
You know, and this whole period of time, I'm right there with you. Yesterday, I was having a conversation with someone and I said, we were talking about, it's Elevate because I'm the chapter leader for Entrepreneurs for Elevate Network in New York. I know you and Christy are friends. We were talking about the Elevate schedule for August. And I said, well, those last 2 weeks in August is when traditionally corporate takes off. And then I started thinking, I really miss that 2 week paid vacation I would take every August. So there are some perks that you actually really miss. But the trick is to create a leverage business where you can take 2 weeks off, you can take a month off. But
yeah, absolutely. And also I think we now control our destiny, yes. Right? And I think that, you know, there's the pro and the con in all of this. It's like a funny joke, right? It's like, oh, okay, I get to control my destiny, but my destiny may not be as stable as that one in corporate life. I think for you and for us, it's, you know, we created this company for real impact. Yes. And I can see it regardless of people that have not been able to keep their memberships or they're on pause or whatever. I see the impact every day. And when I get an email saying, Kate, I just can't afford it anymore because of all these things. And it's heartbreaking that I have to pause. You know, that to me, it's not hey, I don't need this anymore. There's real thought and care behind some of these. And then, you know, we say, okay, how can we make it work for you?
Right.
How can we figure out, because we don't necessarily we don't want our members to lose access to the community that's lifting them up during these times. This is when you need a community most.
Absolutely. I mean, and I reacted similarly to how you reacted when the pandemic hit. You know, I put on my DVF in charge necklace.
Yeah.
And I wore it every single day and created a business continuity roundtable for my community on Life After Corporate. We created a small business roundtable for Elevate that I facilitated. And it was just like there and just saying, okay, so this is hit. Let's manage the mindset around this, realize that things have changed, look for new opportunities because people are still buying. They're still investing in solutions. So
yes.
for some, it's just a matter of, you know, where is that new market need? And yeah, you may take a hit in revenue, but you also may open up a new revenue stream. You know, I realized that too. You know, you mentioned in a prior podcast, how our mutual friend, Alyssa Peek, who's a photographer, started up her virtual presence practice coaching,
yes.
Showing people how to show up on LinkedIn. I launched standout webinars, teaching people how to create webinars that not only were informative and engaging, but also converted into clients. So again,
by the way, still our highest rated Luminary program during the pandemic.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. Oh, that's so great to hear. Well, we're opening up another enrollment for July because it was so fun. And Robin Hatcher is my partner in crime on that program. And it was so much fun for us to be able to teach the skills that are natural for us. So I've been doing online training since 2012, since way before Zoom. And so
way before anyone was doing online training.
Way before anyone. Yeah, my first thing, the first thing I ever launched was a group program online. So the pandemic didn't really affect my business model because I've been doing this for 8 years, but it was important to shift to what's needed now. What do people need right now? And you do that too. You know, you're in charge. How are we serving women in this community when everyone, for the most part, has taken some sort of hit in revenue if you're an entrepreneur, and continue to service and support? And that's been a great, great value for being a member of Luminary and an ambassador. I can't, you know, say enough great things about it. I share the Luminary digital membership with my clients, with people in Life After Corporate. In fact, I'll post something. So before we pivot to that, because before we go, I want to share with people how they can sign up for a digital membership at Luminary. I'd love for you to share with us, what is the number one insight you have learned in the last 2 years since you've started this journey?
You know, for me, it's been, I think, a reiteration of going with my gut. I had a feeling after, again, doing all of my market research about this gap in the market, and I trusted myself. Mm. You know, we have to, as entrepreneurs, you're taking a risk on yourself, right? And there's no better risk to take if you believe in what you're doing and you believe in your abilities. And I think, again, imposter syndrome, all that stuff aside, you wouldn't be doing it if you didn't have courage and you're a risk taker. And I was in my corporate life. I just was doing it with someone else's money, right? Yep. This is like, I'm betting on myself. I'm going with my gut that this is something that women and our male allies, you know, don't need. And I think through this 2 years, as much as there's been crying and that emotional roller coaster, I know that when I go with my gut, obviously with preparation and understanding of the facts, that it works. And, you know, for me, failure in the sense that I look at it, my definition of failure is not an option. Mm-hmm. And so this last 2 years has taught me you will figure it out, and you do. And you just got to trust yourself that, you know, you made this decision to start this company for a reason. That reason has not gone away. So just stay focused and keep going.
I think that's so key, that mantra of failure is not an option. And I think those of us who think that way have a better chance to succeed than those who have, well, I'm going to give this a shot, and then if it doesn't work, I'll retreat, I'll do something else, because that gives you an out. And when you don't have an out, not that you've closed the door to other opportunities, but that failure is not an option. I will figure out a way to make this work. And I think that's a great takeaway.
And I think that's why when you're using your own money, right? When you're, yes, you're investing in yourself, you know, you've got, you know, an idea, a product, a brand, whatever, you're investing in yourself. When you and again, taking nothing away from people that need dollars, and there are a lot, especially when you're manufacturing, et cetera. But when you're using others, you know, money, it's like, okay, well, if I fail, I have less skin in the game in a sense. Right. And so for me, it's, listen, this was an investment in myself and in a business. And now I've just got to be scrappy and figure out the pivot and what to do next. And some of the things are going to work and some of them aren't. And that is okay.
Yeah. The theme song for entrepreneurship is the long and winding road.
Yes, exactly.
Some things work, some things don't. It's just about your ability to pivot and bet on yourself, and also make smart investments. And intuition backed by return on investment and that type of analysis is a great combination. And the programming at Luminary has been fabulous. So if you feel like you need inspiration or you have a gap in your knowledge that needs filling, certainly if you would like to figure out, I can't wait to see your business planning process, because I love the fact that you went back to your mission and vision and made decisions from that perspective. And I'm so excited to learn that from you and how you incorporated that into the business planning process. But before we go, Kate, and thank you so much for being here. This is such an illuminating conversation.
Thank you.
And I didn't plan to use that word. That's why I laughed. I'm just like, oh, it's illuminating. Of course it's illuminating. Share with us how to get a digital membership to Luminary and how people can follow you, because you've been doing great things with columns in Business Insider. You've been all over the press.
Yeah. So for Luminary, you can find us on the web at just luminary-nyc.com. You can find us on social at Be a Luminary, and that's done for a reason, because it's a call to action to be a luminary, which is a role model and an influencer, etc. For me, I'm at Kate Luzio on all my social, which is C-A-T-E-L-U-Z-I-O. And, you know, you can find out about all of our programming right on our website under programming and events. You can find out about all of our membership options, including our digital membership, under the membership tab. As far as my, I write for Worth Magazine, I write for Business Insider, Fast Company, and Forbes in my spare time. Wow. And a lot of that is around leadership and the intersection of gender equality, pay parity, et cetera. So we just started in April, a new column called The Lonely CEO. So for whether you're running a big company, a small company, or an entrepreneur, I would say check it out, because we do a lot around just this idea of being a CEO is pretty lonely. How do we get through things on a very large scale and a small scale? And the pandemic kind of got us right at the right time.
Yes, it did. And it's been incredible to have Luminary to lean on, and you as a mentor and advisor and leader of this community. So thank you so much, Kate, for everything you do and for being with us today on Life After Corporate.
Thanks, Deb. Look forward to seeing you in person soon at Luminary.
Can't wait. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.